time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
3-2 pitch. Fastball belted, deep right. Long gone.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's hour number two on a Wednesday. We are officially rumbling, bumbling, and stumbling downhill into the weekend, over the hump into hour number two. Welcome back. The June 16th edition of the show continues behind us. Couple great conversations in hour number one. We visited with Cat Clark of Sioux Falls Golf, SiouxFallsGolf.com, talking about the U.S. Open, which begins tomorrow at Shinnecock Hills. Is it Scottie Scheffler's to win? Vegas certainly thinks so. Plus 450, the odds for Scheffler, double the odds of anybody else in the field. Rory is second, predictably right around 920, 925 at DraftKings Sportsbook right now. That conversation and our recent conversation centered on the Minnesota Twins with the Twins geek, John Bonus of TwinsDaily.com. You can listen back to the entirety of hour number one wherever you get your podcasts, ESPNSiouxFalls.com, or on the free ESPN Sioux Falls mobile app. Still to come on today's show, opportunity to win big with the identity crisis. You could score a two-pack of tickets to the upcoming Rock the Country two-day concert here, a couple of weekends away at the fairgrounds here in Sioux Falls. Kid Rock, as well as Brantley Gilbert, Stained, and so much more. Two-day concert. You could score a pair of tickets if you tell me who the heck I'm talking about today. Former NFL football player on my mind in the identity crisis. Then we get you the latest NFL news of the day, World Cup drama, World Cup highlights from last night, and of course a hat tip and the absurdity of what Lionel Messi was able to put together last night. Three goals as Team Argentina blitzes their way by Algeria 3-0. Messi, an ageless wonder, soon to be 39 years old, not slowing down, an elite player, still the best player in the field. There are others that are in the conversation, but Messi is the one to watch, and certainly up in the ante last night with a hat trick in game number one for his home country. We talk about Messi's amazing night and wrap up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Let's hit the scorecard. Minnesota Twins are warming up. Zebby Matthews, a win yesterday. That makes three straight and a 12-2 victory for Minnesota. And just like the Monday game in Arlington, things got going really darn early for the Twins yesterday.
Here's the 1-0 pitch. Larnach is swinging a drive into right field and deep. Back it goes and way out of here. Second career leadoff home run for Trevor Larnach, and the second pitch of the game is a home run to right, and the Twins have another quick 1-0 lead.
And that's Corey Provis on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Trevor Larnach, the long ball, 1-0 lead for Minnesota in the first. Minnesota hangs on to a 12-2 victory. They're 35-40. Here's manager Derek Shelton saying, "I'm proud the way this team's playing lately."
You know, with the exception of probably three or four games, we've been in every game this year. But it's good to see our club kind of separate like we've done the last 2 days. And, you know, it's good. I'm really proud of the way we've played the last couple series.
That's Twins manager Derek Shelton. Other notable finals. Twins again, 12-2 winners yesterday. They're 35-40. Kansas City lost to D.C. 6-4. White Sox lost to the Yankees 12-2. Cleveland lost to Milwaukee 2-1, and Detroit also on the wrong side of the scoreboard against Houston 4-2. So the Twins not only winning, but they're the only team in the AL Central that notched a win yesterday. Today and tonight, Minnesota, a off day on a Wednesday, making room for the World Cup that is also down there in that Dallas-Houston area. Today and tonight in Major League Baseball, Twins are off. Royals at Nationals underway in just a moment. 12:05, the official start time. Tigers and Astros from Houston, 1:10. Padres at Cardinals, White Sox at Yankees. Brewers home to the Guardians. Cubs host the Rockies. The nightcap there from Wrigley gets going at 7:05. Over to the WNBA yesterday, the Toronto Tempo taking on the Indiana Fever in Indianapolis. No match there. 113-91 the final. Pair of double-doubles for the Fever. Aaliyah Boston had 18 and 11 rebounds. Caitlin Clark had 21 and 14 assists in the latest win. Number 9 on the year for the 9-5 Fever. Tonight in the WNBA, Lynx are in action against the Sparks in L.A. That is a 9 o'clock go time. Aces and Mercury in that South Dakota-born coaches showdown there. Aces and Mercury from Phoenix, 9 o'clock on USA and CNBC. The NBA draft is less than a week away. A lot of drama, a lot of questions. Is it Peterson? Is it DeBonsa? Who else is going in the top five? And we're going to play matchmaker later on this week as well as next week ahead of the NBA draft, June 23rd and the 24th. But everybody wants to talk about what just happened. The Knicks over the Spurs and how many eyes and ears were on that series. Spoiler alert, it was the most viewed, most watched series since 1998. That is great for the basketball world, says Evan Cohen of ESPN Radio.
The Golden State Warriors had this dynastic team with all of these players that people knew about, and Steph Curry and Kevin Durant, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. They had a coach that was at least in our crosshairs in terms of conversation, Steve Kerr, forever since, you know, attached to Michael Jordan, Shaq he played with. And then you had across the way, arguably the second greatest player of all time in LeBron James. And that didn't beat this. If there was ever a question, are we ready for the next face of the NBA? I think it's Wemby. Some people, Knicks fans, may want to say, okay, now it's Jalen Brunson. That's fine in the moment. You absolutely can say that. He's awesome. Like, he's a great guy. He's amazing on the court. However you want to spin it. It feels like we're ready for it in a way that we haven't been in a long time.
Man, that feels absolutely right. And again, you can talk about, oh, it's just because it was New York. Well, the other market, San Antonio, is far from a bigger market in the NBA. You could have bigger markets collide, bigger stars collide. Safe to say we're in a good spot in the NBA viewership-wise. Highest rated, highest, most viewed NBA Finals since 1998. More from Cohen here talking about Giannis Antetokounmpo. Might be a little bit more complex as far as a potential trade goes than we're letting on in the weeks ahead in the NBA offseason.
I wonder if somebody tries to get Giannis as part of a salary dump. Here's a contract we gave to a guy. We may be regretting it a little bit. We're not going to look bad by giving it up if we get this guy in return. It's why Orlando keeps popping up in my mind. Do they regret any part of the Paolo extension? It's why Cleveland comes up in my mind. Do they regret any part of the Mobley extension? Is it that extra team that could come in last minute as maybe a masked salary dump?
And that's Evan Cohen on one of the biggest chess pieces this offseason that'll be on the move, Giannis Antetokounmpo. Other names to know, of course, LeBron James. Where does he go? What does that swan song of the career look like? Is it back in Cleveland? Is it up to Golden State? We'll wait and see on LeBron James. Also, other name out there centered up on the Minnesota Timberwolves, Sayo Dosunmu. Still no long-term deal just yet, as he is top five impending free agent in the NBA offseason. Over to the National Football League. Let's talk about the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Suddenly, they've got a little bit of a situation brewing at quarterback with Baker Mayfield. Dan Graziano talking about how Tampa really likes Baker Mayfield, but do they like him enough to pay him over $50 million per season on a new deal?
I think the issue here is the Buccaneers really like Baker Mayfield. The question is, to what extent financially? The contracts that they have had him on since he got there make a lot of sense for them. But if hypothetically he wants to be paid in the mid 50 millions a year, I could see the Bucs saying, well, we do like him, but we don't necessarily like him that much. And that could be what we're seeing, right? Like, if there are questions about durability going forward, how much do we want to commit, et cetera, based on what we've seen. I think that's where the issues lie. And with 1 year left on his contract, and obviously it's getting a little bit contentious, it seems, at the very least, I think it's fair to wonder. There were a lot of good vibes around that team this time last year, and they had a very disappointing season. And, you know, that does change your perspective on a lot of things.
And certainly that's up for debate. What is Baker Mayfield's value? Every time a non-elite quarterback gets paid, everybody says, oh my gosh, can you believe the Packers paid Jordan Love, the Cowboys paid Dak Prescott, the Jags paid Trevor Lawrence that much money. It's what the market dictates, people. Baker Mayfield's going to end up in the top 10 in salary. If the Buccaneers are wise here, this is what, if I were a sports agent, we'd be talking about. It would be a 2-year deal with a 3rd-year kicker to go up quite a bit, maybe 2 years, $100 million, 3 years, $160. So 50 in year one, 50 in year two, 60 in year three, but a option in between year two and three for the Buccaneers to exit from the Baker Mayfield sweepstakes. After all, Baker is getting older. He is 28 years old, going to be 29 before too long. And is he an elite quarterback? No. Is he capable of winning a Super Bowl? I would say yes. But the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, are they ready in that division to get back to being semi-dominant, win double-digit games, get by Carolina, stiff-arm New Orleans and Atlanta? I think it's possible. Tampa, still, for my money, the best team in that division, most complete team. But it all depends on what the long-term outlook looks like with Baker Mayfield and those Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Other news to get to, Damian Woody commenting on a under-the-radar situation here surrounding Brendan Sorsby. Not necessarily about the supplemental draft or fits in the NFL, but he's talking about Brendan Sorsby, the teammate, and how he might fit or might not fit in the league.
To start off, I would not want this player on my team because of the nature of the position that he plays. He plays the most important position in all of sports. And the things that he's done, and I want to make this clear, betting on games, not only betting on games, betting on his own games.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone knows, Lewis knows this, mm-hmm. everyone knows, that is a cardinal sin in all sports.
Right.
Okay? And in a 53-man locker room, there are some junkyard dogs in the locker room. There's no locker room made of 53 good guys. You got guys that come with baggage, all types of baggage that you have to manage. But I'm sorry, speaking plainly for me, I do not want a guy who holds the future in the whole organization's hand with a guy who has the baggage and the background of betting on his own games. That's how I feed my family. I want to make sure that whoever is holding that ball every single snap has all the intentions of winning football games. Nothing ancillary outside of that.
There you go. A lot to prove for Brendan Sorsby. If he hears his name called in the supplemental draft, where he goes, is he a starting quarterback? Is he a 2-3-4 year project? That is well up for debate. I would lean towards the project category heavily, but it would not surprise me to see the Cleveland Browns put him in the quarterback conversation immediately if they're the team that ends up winning a bid for his services. Dan Graziano says, I'm not so sure the NFL is wise to have a supplemental draft at all next month.
You cannot, as a sports league, accept it. It's a bright line. It always has been. You cannot have players betting on their own games. It brings into the equation everything that, you know, everything that can sink a sports league. Is this on the level? Like, is the competition real? I paid for a ticket. Like, I deserve to see an honest competition. And if you have any reason to doubt that, then that's a big time slippery slope for the league we're talking about. And I'm fascinated to see what the NFL does. They don't have to have a supplemental draft just because Brandon Sorsby asked. Like, they could tell him no. And then if he gets into the league as an undrafted free agent, they could suspend him. They could suspend him for life. I mean, there would be a court battle, obviously, and the NFLPA would be involved at that point. But I think this is a really interesting time for the league in this particular case.
It is going to be very interesting. Again, Brendan Sorsby supplemental draft could be scheduled for mid-July. We'll wait and see because the application has been made. The interest is there from Sorsby to make the leap. The NFL, not official yet, whether or not there will be for sure a supplemental draft coming up later on next month. What will be going on this weekend is the U.S. Open running tomorrow through Sunday. Michael Collins on Scottie Scheffler and why he's not buying Scheffler as such a heavy favorite this weekend.
He doesn't really want to talk about completing the Grand Slam. And he was on the driving range yesterday, like grinding, really grinding. Listen, I'll never bet against Scottie Scheffler, but I don't think he should be the favorite going into this week. I understand why he is, because he is Scottie Scheffler and his record over the long term has been spectacular. But is he coming into this week playing better golf than some of the other top named guys? No, absolutely not.
That's Michael Collins of ESPN. Scheffler, a plus 450 heavy favorite to win the whole darn thing at Shinnecock Hills. Again, action begins tomorrow and runs through, concluding on Sunday. College World Series yesterday, West Virginia blanked Troy. The Trojans bowing out of the tournament 12-0 the final. Mountaineers moving on to another game today against North Carolina. Elsewhere last night, Georgia beat Texas 2-0. Longhorns, the second team eliminated yesterday. So today, we'll see North Carolina, unbeaten so far, facing off with West Virginia with one loss. So West Virginia could be sent packing this afternoon. 1 o'clock start on ESPN. Oklahoma undefeated, taking on Georgia. Bulldogs have one loss, 6 o'clock on ESPN. And again, it's double elimination. So if West Virginia wins, if Georgia wins, nobody eliminated today at the College World Series. If they go the other way, we could have up to two teams sent packing from Omaha later on today. The World Cup, amazing action yesterday, frankly. France beat Senegal in the matinee 3-1. Mbappe had two goals for Team France as they moved their record to 1-0-0. Norway followed suit with a 4-1 victory over Iraq. Argentina got a hat trick from the best player in the world, 38, soon to be 39-year-old Lionel Messi, netting three goals pretty darn early into that match. 3-0 victory over Algeria and Austria. The later game, 3-1 victory over Jordan just yesterday. Talk about impressive. Here's Chris Canty talking about the longevity. 38 years old for Lionel Messi.
It's one thing to be able to produce and be in your latter 30s or your 40s, but to have your countrymen that are surrounding you, your peers, decide that, hey, we're going to still orient this thing around you. You'll be the fulcrum of everything that we do. That just speaks to the level of greatness that we're talking about when we reference Messi. So, yeah, I think that people have to fully appreciate what we're watching in real time, because this is something that we might not see again in terms of a player being able to have this level of longevity, this level of productivity on the world stage.
And again, I am not a soccer nut. I don't really consume a lot of the MLS unless it's a very special occasion. When Messi burst onto the scene a few years ago, that was pretty evident. That was very special, and Messi has lived up to the hype as a European star, a guy that has starred all over the globe in the sport coming to the MLS. Now, Messi internationally has been very, very fun to watch. The team won the World Cup in 2022, and they're back and better than ever, it seems, last night. But the thing that stood out to me, I don't know if you watched it or not, but the support nation by nation in the World Cup has been staggering. Whether you're talking about the Scots and the Tartan Army, or you're talking about Argentina last night, and the fact that that entire stadium, save for a few fans, at least that's what it seemed like, was donning the striped white and blue jersey of Argentina. There were people openly weeping last night on camera before the national anthems even played because Lionel Messi made his way out onto the soccer pitch. The emotionality, the investment of fans is extraordinary, and Lionel Messi is that much of a star and a stud, an ageless wonder, soon to be just about before a week away from being 39 years old. We talk about Tom Brady's longevity in the NFL, physical game, admirable, impressive, no doubt. Lionel Messi still has a tremendous career ahead of him. And there was a great piece in the pregame coverage. Again, I don't know how much you watched out there. Somehow, some way, I carved out some time last night with three kids, stiff-arming them away to watch the piece on Messi and his hometown and the people raising their hand. I'm talking 5-year-old, 8-year-old kids saying, do you own a Lionel Messi jersey? Yes, I do. He's a hero. He's the greatest Argentinian athlete of all time. He's the greatest of all time in the sport of soccer. It was amazing for that in pregame, and then to immediately be treated to not one, not two, not three, but four goals. The first one was offsides, but he nets three additional to give his team a massive win. People weeping before the game even got started, and a lot to cheer about last night. Lionel Messi, one of the biggest stars in the tournament, if not the star of the 2026 World Cup. We'll see another big star take center stage underway right now. That is Cristiano Ronaldo. Team Portugal taking on Congo. That got going at noon on Fox. England meets Croatia at 3 o'clock on Fox. Ghana takes on Panama 6 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. And the nightcap tonight gets underway at 9 o'clock on Fox Sports 1. Colombia taking on Uzbekistan. Now moving into your ReliaBank headlines of the day, it's hour number two. Big announcement from the Summit League yesterday. The Summit League announced expansions of their media rights agreements with both CBS Sports and Midco Sports yesterday that will keep both partners at the center of distributing the conference's national linear and digital network content. The expanded linear and digital agreements with CBS Sports and Midco will now run through 2030, covering four seasons of Summit League competition, and will increase the number of games on national TV while also providing additional post-game digital rights. Here's what Commissioner Josh Fenton had to say. The Summit League and our members are excited to announce extensions with our global streaming partner Midco Sports and our national linear TV partner CBS Sports. Fenton went on to say the combination of both relationships is unique, and these expansions allow the league to broaden linear and digital distribution to a broad audience, maximize financial benefit to the membership, maintain flexibility for institutions and their local linear partners, and deliver curated fan experiences. The expanded four-year term with CBS Sports will see additional regular season games aired on CBS Sports Network, increasing from a minimum of 7 to 9, which now includes a guarantee of 2 women's basketball regular season games. The men's and women's basketball championship title games and selected semifinals will also air on CBS Sports Network. You can find that full release at thesummitleague.org, gojacks, goyotes.com, also with that article up on their respective sites. That is a toe dip into your ReliaBank headlines of the day for hour number two. When we come back, it is your first opportunity this week to win and win big. We like to call it the identity crisis, how it works. I'm so glad you asked. I will give you 5 clues about a sports figure, past or present. We're not into the futuristic sports figures just yet, but Charlie Woods would be on that list if we were. But we're diving into a former NFL football player that you need to know today. I give you 5 clues. As soon as you think you know the answer, dial me up at 605-362-3776. That number to contest with us and yell at me anytime on the show, 605-362-3776. The identity crisis, latest from the NFL, World Cup chatter, more on Messi's amazing night, and the good, the bad, the ugly. On the other side of this break, it is overtime on a Wednesday, and it continues next.
Overtime is in the middle of your workday. Unwrap your sandwich and get caught up with Bert Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this middle of the week Wednesday edition of Overtime. I've been telling you guys about Quickstar and the Quick Rewards app. There are so many different benefits. You can stack up your visits for great things on the app. Also, order ahead of time with your favorite goodies. We can talk about fried chicken, pizza, take-home meals, and more. Order ahead in the Quick Rewards app today. Take care of the payment ahead of time. It can be picked up in-store or brought to your car curbside. An extra layer of benefits there with your next visit to Quickstar. And speaking of the Quickstar and Quick Rewards app, Ready, Set, Climb. You can play Quickstar's Mountain Dew Quick Climb for the next 2 months, now through August 16th, play free every day in the Quick Rewards app and score cash this summer. Daily cash prizes handed out, climbing to a $250,000 payday at the top. That is the Quickstar Mountain Dew Quick Climb. You can buy select Pepsi-Cola beverages to earn bonus plays today. Your summer, your climb, your win. Only at Quickstar. Full rules. Quickstar.com/sweepstakes. Well, speaking of sweepstakes, let it all begin right now. The identity crisis. I got 5 clues about a former NFL player you should know, you might know. You need to scramble it around, find it somewhere in the memories of the National Football League. Time to test your wits for a big prize pack, which includes a pair of tickets to the Rock the Country 2-day concert, not this weekend, but next weekend, featuring Kid Rock, Stain, Brantley Gilbert, and so much more. Let's win big. It's time for the identity crisis on a Wednesday.
What do you know about Ray Finkel?
Soccer-style kicker. Graduated from Collier High, June 1976. Stetson University Honors graduate, class of 1980. Holds 2 NCAA Division I records, 1 for most points in a season, 1 for distance. Former nickname the Mule. The first and only pro athlete ever to come out of Collier County and won hell of a model American.
Well, this is exhausting. Let's see if you can tell us the sports figure we're talking about in today's identity crisis on Overtime.
Well, away we go. The identity crisis brought to you by the original Pancake House in Sioux Falls. No doubt about it. For the very best in breakfast, you can visit OPH at the corner of 41st and Kiwanis. Crispy thick bacon, huge omelets, and more. All served with a smile always. at the Original Pancake House. As soon as you think you know who I'm talking about today, dial me up, 605-362-3776. A former NFL player, the courtesy clue. Our first clue is a former NFL running back. This particular running back wore the same number throughout his entire career. Your second clue is number 32. This player went to the University of Auburn in Auburn, Alabama, played in the National Football League from 2001 to 2008, and he played for the Bengals and the Lions. There's your clues. Running back number 32 went to Auburn, played from 2001 to 2008, and played for the Bengals and the Detroit Lions. One other clue here, just so I can get the wheels turning for you listeners out there. 605-362-3776, the number to dial. This player has an absurdly chantable name. A chantable name. What the heck does that mean, Bert? Well, you'll find out soon. 605-362-3776. I got a couple callers that think they're up to snuff today. Over to line number one. You're on with Overtime. What's your name?
Hi, it's Mark.
Mark, what's today's correct answer, Mark?
Is it Corey Dillon?
It is not Corey Dillon. That is one heck of a guess. This running back was actually the immediate chapter after Corey Dillon in that particular book for the Bengals. Line number two, you're on with Overtime. What's your name?
Terry.
Terry, what's today's correct answer?
Is it Rudy Johnson?
Rudy. Rudy Johnson is correct. Job well done. Rudy Johnson, today's correct answer. Terry, our big winner, the identity crisis brought to you by OPH. Terry, you're going to get a 2-pack of tickets for both days of the Rock the Country concert at the fairgrounds. Not this weekend, but next weekend. You also get an OPH gift card and more. Job well done. Rudy Johnson, very short career, but a nice career. And he was significant for Cincinnati folks in particular because he was really darn good after they said so long to one of the best running backs in the history of their franchise, Corey Dillon, who went on to a lot of success in New England. Rudy Johnson had a very nice short career, total of, what is that, 8 years, 01 to 08, played for the Bengals, the majority, the Lions just 1 year, and ran out of gas from there. Rudy Johnson, memorable, chantable name, no doubt about it. And Terry, stay on hold or give me a call back when we enter into our next break. I'll get you hooked up with the details for your prize pack. That is the Identity Crisis brought to you by the Original Pancake House. We start our NFL news segment of the day with news from Green Bay. I had to wait for the dust to settle on this one a little bit, to be matter of fact about it, because this player was signed by Green Bay reportedly earlier this offseason, and then we heard nothing from the Packers officially on the waiver pickup of Luke Lachey. Then it came out that they had failed his physical. Okay, never mind. They're not going to get the former Iowa tight end. And then as of this week, they are signing Luke Lachey officially. Now, Green Bay has brought him back this week after the team's mandatory minicamp. Lachey was a 7th-round draft pick just last year of the Houston Texans by way of Iowa. And as the Packers roster was at their 91-man limit, Green Bay had to make a corresponding roster move to make way, and they let go of young receiver Jacoby Keeney-James, who was on the active roster at the end of last year for Green Bay. But make no mistake about it, this is another addition to a tight end room that includes the likes of course, Tucker Kraft. He's tight end one. When he's back and ready to rumble, he's the Packers starter, long-term future at the premier position in Titletown. Now you have Luke Musgrave, who's had an underwhelming start to his career as a 2nd-round pick. You also got Josh Wiley, a dude who was drafted by the Titans not too long ago, and a smattering of other youngsters, including, of course, Messiah Swinson and R.J. Maryland. So Green Bay inserts Luke Lachey, a draftable guy out of Iowa last year, as a mauler, as a blocker, not a typical pass catcher. They want this wide tight end so bad in Green Bay, somebody to up the floor behind Tucker Kraft and maybe go into tight end personnel, that 11, 12 personnel that they love so much in Green Bay. Maybe they can get Lachey on the football field if he makes the roster, and he can be that guy that's a little bit more dependable than a Luke Musgrave or a Josh Wiley in the blocking game in Green Bay. We'll see about staying power on the roster for Luke Lachey in Green Bay, who was signed just this week. Update from Denver on a couple situations. First, centered up on quarterback Bo Nix. He made his first appearance in full offseason practice yesterday and said he remains on track to be ready for training camp next month. He also revealed that the April surgery he underwent on his right ankle he fractured in the AFC divisional round was for bone spurs. Nix did limited work in the Broncos' first mandatory minicamp practice of the week, throwing in indie drills in the early portion of practice, according to ESPN.com. Did not take part in team drills and is expected to have limited duty for the remainder of minicamp this week. Coach Sean Payton saying after practice, he's doing well, really well. He'll clearly be ready in time for training camp. It's good to have him out here in uniform. Now, a player that they don't have out in uniform for different reason is Jonathan Cooper. They have excused the outside linebacker veteran from their mandatory minicamp this week after he was arrested two times in a seven-day span on multiple different domestic violence charges, including one felony charge. Here's what Broncos head coach Sean Payton had to say yesterday. He's taking his time. Obviously, he's got to work on himself. The club is very much in tune to the league office, local authorities here, and we've had several meetings. Clearly, from an ownership standpoint, head coach, organizationally, there's a bar that we have. An expectation that we have that's very high. We'll consider all of that as we continue to gather information. We're continuing to go through that process, and we take it very seriously. Again, to be clear, alleged activity at this point has been arrested two different times. You want the details, they're available ESPN.com right now. Well, a different quarterback situation that feels a little bit more kumbaya-ish than Minnesota's is down in Atlanta. Falcons quarterback Michael Penix Jr. has not yet taken part in full practices, specifically 11-on-11 after undergoing ACL surgery last fall. He expects that to change when training camp begins. Penix tore his ACL in week 11 of last year, said Tuesday after minicamp practice that he's not 100%, but did say that he plans to be a full go when the Falcons return for training camp in late July. That's the expectation, according to Penix. I know I go see my doctor before that all kicks off, so it's really up to my doctor. Now, as far as that kumbaya narrative put forth by yours truly, Tua Tagovailoa and Michael Penix talking about each other this week. Penix told reporters yesterday he's got a solid relationship with the former Dolphins quarterback and frankly the front runner for the job today. It's been good. Been nothing but good since he got here. Via transcript from the team, Penix said, "We know we're in competition, but at the same time, we're on the same team. We have the same goals, and that's to see this team win football games and help do that in our way. We've been good together, and it's always going to be like that." How about that? Michael Penix, Tua Tagovailoa, a little kumbaya there in the ATL. Dallas Cowboys wide receiver George Pickens is playing ball despite the limited guarantees on his contract. He said he's prepared to play the next season on the franchise tag. The tag and all that, it's just football first. Pickens said after the first day of mandatory minicamp yesterday, "Definitely football first, kind of like I did last year, and then I'll worry about the contract. Well, actually, we'll let my agent worry about it." George Pickens was a revelation last year in Dallas, especially circumstantially on their season. They added him. A lot of people had a question. How are he and CeeDee Lamb going to coexist? How are they going to feed both of those guys to the tune that which they want to be fed in order to be considered top flight receivers in the league? CeeDee Lamb had an ankle injury midseason, and George Pickens filled in not just admirably, but wholeheartedly. In that situation, Dallas, you know what? I would have paid George Pickens this offseason something below that number, average annual value, a little bit more long-term, 2-3-4-year deal. Dallas not doing that. Another prove-it year for George Pickens as they are approaching that a little bit more cautiously for the long-term commitment to George Pickens. And lastly, another Iowa tight end in the news, Lions tight end and Iowa Hawkeye alum Sam Laporta was able to play just 9 games last year with a back issue, getting him placed on injured reserve in mid-November after undergoing surgery to repair the injury. The veteran has been able to do walkthroughs during the offseason program, but otherwise he's been working to the side. Head coach Dan Campbell saying via transcript from the team yesterday, "We like where he's going. He is trending the right direction." That's the only update we have. Sam Laporta right now, Detroit Lions tight end, working his way back onto the football field. That's the latest and greatest from the NFL. The identity crisis behind us. Congratulations to Terry, our big winner. And when we come back, more on the World Cup. The schedule today, a look at the odds. Is Argentina at the tippy top after an impressive opening performance just yesterday? We'll dive right back in. Also, highlight Messi's amazing night and wrap up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. Keep it here. Overtime continues after this on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. It's ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO.
You want more of Overtime? It's all on the podcast. Free with the app or online at ESPN Sioux Falls. Overtime with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Back with you, set to round out and wrap up a fun-filled Wednesday edition of Overtime. A reminder, congratulations to Terry, our big winner of the Identity Crisis. Terry scored a pair of tickets to both days of the Rock the Country concert coming up at the fairgrounds. Not this weekend, but next weekend. More information on that concert, getting out and about, rockthecountry.com. Right now, let's talk World Cup. Let's talk about Lionel Messi, soon to be 39-year-old star. Unbelievable night last night. And we'll wrap up the show with the good, the bad, and the ugly. We start with the World Cup, where Lionel Messi made history last night by tying Miroslav Klose, doing my best there's record, for the most men's World Cup goals at 16. After scoring three last night, almost four, was offside on the first one and got his first netter a little bit later on. But three goals in a 3-0 win over Algeria. Hat-trick was the 11th of Messi's international career, but first at the World Cup. At age 38, he became the oldest player to score three goals in a game at the tournament. Came off late in the second half to a rousing ovation from the partisan Argentina crowd at Geha Field at Arrowhead Stadium. It's an honor to being up there for what it means, being alongside Klose and Brazil's Ronaldo, who is there also. But it doesn't mean anything, Messi said after the game. And Mbappe's there, too. He scored twice today. At the end of the day, they are stats and nothing more. It's an honor to compete with them, but it just doesn't mean anything. For me, Ronaldo, who I watched as one of the greats, is not at the top. So it's just stats. When Messi took the field for the defending champion Argentina's first group stage match, his 200th with the national team, he also became the first player to feature in six different World Cups. He broke the record of five held by Cristiano Ronaldo, Antonio Carvajal, Andres Guardado, Rafael Marquez, and Lothar Matthaus. Doing my best on these names. Messi gave Argentina the early lead, ended up with three goals. And we already alluded to, talked about the absurdity of Lionel Messi and the fact that we have been witness in the past, not to pick on David Beckham, but we've been witness in the past of international soccer stars coming to the United States on mega deals late in the career for the MLS and running out of gas or being less than advertised. Messi is still full steam ahead, best player in the world. And you could argue, you could throw a few names in there as far as resume, ability, stature, trajectory. That's fine. We can talk about that. But Messi is most people's end-all, be-all right now at the position. And we're talking about best active player, but also at the same time, we're talking about the GOAT, greatest of all time conversation as well. And of course, it's different eras. We can talk about Pele and the other guys way far away. I'm no expert on soccer, by the way. I hope I'm doing a good job sounding that way. But when it comes down to history, that's always up for debate, just like it is in the NFL and NBA. Different eras, tough to compare. But Messi, one of one, and an amazing opener last night, 3-0 and all three goals off of his foot last night in that World Cup opening victory for Argentina. We'll take a look at those odds here before we move on to the good, the bad, the ugly to round out and wrap up the show. A lot to get to there. But as we look at the World Cup odds right now, Argentina was already among the top flight favorites to win the whole darn thing before they took to the field yesterday. They're in that conversation. They were fifth yesterday. They remain right there, plus 850, because outside of Spain, everybody else is either not yet been in action or held serve in their openers. France, Spain, England, Portugal, the four teams ahead of Argentina. And after Argentina, staying largely the same, Brazil, Germany, Netherlands, Norway, and Morocco. Team USA, exactly where they were yesterday. No new information on that squad. They are tied for 11th with Belgium right now. Team USA gearing up for a match with Australia coming up on Friday. Time now to dive right into the ending of the show. We like to call it the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Who has been the problem child today? Displayed their ugly side. Whined a bit too much and now setting a bad example. Well, Bert is calling out today's headline makers with the good, the bad, and the ugly.
Good, the bad, and the ugly. We start with the U.S. Open, where Scottie Scheffler will be favored heading into the tournament. His 15th consecutive major as the pre-tournament favorite or co-favorite. But his odds to complete the elusive career Grand Slam are not quite as short as bettors are used to. Scheffler showing up at plus 445 at DraftKings Sportsbook. Right now, plus 450. Always subject to change at Shinnecock Hills Golf Club in New York this weekend. But his odds are longer across the sportsbook marketplace, reaching as high as plus 550 as of this morning. To stark contrast to last year, Scheffler entered the U.S. Open at extremely short, plus 275, coming off a PGA Championship victory just a month earlier. The U.S. Open opening tomorrow, running through Sunday. Now, let's talk about the World Cup a little more. The four World Cup matches that took place yesterday set a new record for the most attended day in the history of the tournament. A new mark of over 281,000 viewers eclipsed the prior record of 277,000 set back in 1994 in the United States, which also featured four matches. The combined figure came from matches between France and Senegal, which drew over 80,000, Argentina and Algeria over 69,000, Austria and Jordan 68, and Iraq and Norway 63,106 in attendance. The current average attendance at the World Cup is over 65,000 per game and is on track to surpass the tournament's best cumulative record of 3.5 million in-person viewers back in 1994. Well, that's not the only sport that is booming. The NHL said yesterday that the Stanley Cup playoffs this spring were the most watched on record in the United States with an average of 1.8 million viewers. That surpassed the previous record back in 1996 of 1.56 million and is up 68%. Over last year. You can chalk it up to a lot of different things. Olympic fever, four nations face off, better play, good story, whatever it might be. NHL absolutely booming, according to the NHL just yesterday. The NBA following suit. The Knicks win in game five Saturday night to capture their first title in 53 years, averaged 24.5 million viewers on ABC and ESPN. That is the most watched game five since 1998, when some dude named MJ was out there on the floor. The audience peaked at 33 million viewers as Finals MVP Jalen Brunson was putting the wraps on a 45-point night as the Knicks rallied from 10 points down in the fourth quarter. Overall, the Finals averaged 20.6 million viewers, according to Nielsen, the highest since the 1998 series between Chicago and Utah, when Jordan won his sixth and final NBA title. This year's ratings were also the highest since ABC and ESPN started carrying the Finals back in 2003. Certainly good to great news for the World Cup, NHL, and NBA. Other good news, the Maple Leafs have a new direction. They have hired Jim Hiller as their new head coach. Team announcement came this morning. This will be the 57-year-old Hiller's second stint with the Leafs, after working as an assistant with the club from 2015 to 2019, also his second NHL coaching job following 3 years guiding the Kings from 2023 to 2026. Jim is an experienced coach with a strong understanding of what it takes to win in today's NHL. That, according to general manager John Chayka. Chayka told reporters Tuesday that Toronto was close to naming its new bench boss after an extensive search to replace Craig Berube, who was fired by Chayka in May after 2 years guiding Toronto. Now, other news to get to out of the NHL, this news of the bad and I would say ugly variety, the what the heck are you doing variety, and that's the news surrounding Vegas Golden Knights head coach John Tortorella. He guided Vegas to the Stanley Cup final. He won't return as the head coach next year. 68-year-old next week was a surprise hire when he was brought in with 8 games to go in the regular season. Golden Knights had fired Bruce Cassidy, who had 1 year remaining on his deal while the team was still in playoff position. Vegas lost Game 6 Sunday night to the Canes and capturing the Stanley Cup for the Raleigh-based franchise. Tortorella's deal with the Knights was only through June 30th, the end of the league calendar. And Kelly McCrimmon, the general manager, said, "We thank Torch for the guidance he provided our team since joining the organization in March. When the decision was made to bring Torch to Vegas, we needed an immediate impact to help us at a pivotal point of the season. His experience and leadership proved to be the boost we are looking for, helping guide us to the Stanley Cup final. We are grateful for Torch's passion, sincerity, and commitment to our organization. We wish him and his family, the best." Tortorella went 21-8-1 with Vegas, including playoffs, and would like to coach next year. To me, this is a gigantic, what are you doing? It's not like Tortorella is 80 years old. He's 68 next week. Wants to coach. Just guided your team to a historic upset over the team to beat, the no-doubt Colorado Avalanche. Vegas swept them 4-0. And then played a really tough Canes team to a very nice 6-game series. What are you doing here? What are you going to get that's better moving forward immediately in Vegas? I don't understand this maneuver at all, especially if Vegas is wanting to keep that continuity, get back to the big stage next year. This feels like an odd maneuver for the front office there in Las Vegas. Other news quickly, bad news for the Chicago Cubs. They put closer Daniel Palencia on the 15-day injured list because of right elbow inflammation yesterday, one day after he struck out the side against the Rockies. The 26-year-old pitched the 9th inning in Monday's 5-4 ultimate win, but was visited by manager Craig Counsell at the team's training staff in the middle of the inning. He convinced them he was okay to stay in the game, but then felt, quote, symptoms afterward. Now going to go on the injured list due to inflammation in that right elbow. I'm sure imaging coming down the line. And lastly, the ugly, a gulf remains between restricted free agent center Walker Kessler and the Utah Jazz after the team put an offer worth roughly $140 million on the table for 5 years. It would have been the largest contract ever given to a center who had yet to be an all-star in the NBA. The Jazz have the right to match any offer sheet Kessler signs as a restricted free agent. The 7-footer has proved to be one of the NBA's premier shot blockers and rebounders already in a young career. Played in only 5 games last year before having season-ending shoulder surgery. Offer on the table, $140 million over 5 years, but apparently still a ways away on the value, structure, etc. Walker Kessler and the Utah Jazz, not a pretty situation right now. That is the Wednesday edition of Overtime. Tomorrow, Dustin Baker not in. We're inserting Thor Nystrom into the conversation. Minnesota Vikings Thursday, you bet, tomorrow on the show. We'll talk to you then. Viking storylines, the quarterback debate and competition, so much more when the next edition of Overtime rolls around right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader. Mm-hmm.